We're in the middle of a pasuk. We're in the middle of Perek Dalad, pasuk Dalad.
Same thing as Dovi's.
Yeah. So we talked about the different opinions on what the word ha-hetiv. Hashem was querying. He was asking Yaina, ha-hetiv charalach. Ha-hetiv charalach. You know, is it proper that you're in pain, or is it proper that you're angry? That was one shot. Or ha-hetiv charalach, we said from the Targum that it's not a question at all. Ha-hetiv means a lot. You know, ha-hetiv charalach, Hashem is observing. Hashem is making an observation. I see you're very angry. And I think we said something from Devin Ezra and the Radak. Ha-hetiv charalach, that you're angry because of the good that I'm doing. Is that proper to be angry over good, you know, because Nineveh is saved? I think that's what we didn't tell her. The Barbanel, I'm sorry, the Malvim, has his own mahalach in this pasuk. We saw from previous psukim that one of Yena's fears was the Chil Hashem that would result from being caught in a Nevuah Sheker. That people would claim that he's a false prophet, he made it up. We said that leads to other Chil Hashem. That there, you know, people say there is no Nevuah, or Hashem, you know, is powerless to punish sinners. So that was like one of his primary concerns, to be caught with a lie, to be caught as a Navi Sheker. There's a Rambam which is based on an incident in Tanakh. In the time of Churban Bayis Rishon, in the times of Yirmiyahu HaNavi, there were prophecies flying all over the place. All over the place, which is prophecies. I mean, Yirmiyahu HaNavi was keeping up the same constant. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry. Bnei Yisrael at that time were angering him. Do tshuva. If you don't do tshuva, then the base of Mikdash will be destroyed. And then you're all going to go into exile. But there were Nevi'i HaSheker. And Nevi'i HaSheker was saying, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. We're fine. The Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. How can you destroy the Beis HaMikdash? Anybody who knows anything about the Beis HaMikdash knows that it can't be destroyed. I mean, the Beis HaMikdash is a makam of Kedusha. We're going to be thrown out of Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is ours. Never again, you know what to say. Never. No one's ever going to throw us out. And we just received a prophecy that Hashem said, it's okay, it's all right, you're fine. And people didn't know who to believe. I mean, the evidence was in front of them to believe in Navi Sheker over Yirmiyah. They had the tools to determine which one of them was telling the truth. But many people were lulled into a false sense of security because of the Navi Sheker. Navi Sheker also did Mifsim. Navi Sheker also known as men that were able to tell the future. Navi Sheker was thought to have a gift of prophecy. Yirmiyah told the Navi, he says, you know, it's going to come down to it that what's going to determine who's right or who's wrong are the events that unfold. He said, you know, we're just going to have to wait and see. He said, but I'll have you know. Yirmiyahu tells him, I'll have you know that if the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, then that's going to prove you wrong. If Klal Yisrael goes into Golus, then you're going to be proven wrong. But if there is no destruction and there's no galus, then that's not a proof that I'm wrong. Because of Kadosh Baruch Hu's midah, he allows people to do tshuva, he's erech hapayim. And just because he decrees that something's going to happen doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen that way. And the Rambam takes a klal from this. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu promises something l'tayva, a nevuah l'tayva, Hashem promises he's going to give something, and it's a decree, then that will come true no matter what. There's no way. There's no mechanism to stop that. Once it's set in motion, because Baruch Hu promises something with Tova, so then it comes. even to undeserving ones. But a Nevuah L'ra'ah sometimes will come, sometimes won't come. And it's not evidence of the falsity, of the sheker, of the one that brought the message. So the Rambam says, if a Navi Emes, someone who has a reputation as a Navi Emes, says a Nevuah that foretells a perennios, a calamity, and it doesn't come true, he's not slugged up. It doesn't destroy his veracity, his truth. So the Rambam says, that's what Hashem was telling Yaina. He's saying, Ahetiv, pause, also with a pause. Ahetiv, Charlach. Is your Nevuah a Nevuah of Taiva? That you're in pain, that it might not come true? A Nevuah of Taiva that doesn't come true proves the proposed Navi to be a liar. But a Nevuah L'ra'ah, a Nevuah that foretells evil, that foretells punishment, that doesn't come true, that doesn't mean anything.
You could say that, like, depending on the point of view, it might have been considered a good Nevuah. Like, for Bnei Yisrael, if Asher was going to exile them later, then for them, this was a good Nevuah that Nineveh would be destroyed.
Yeah, it's good for Nineveh. I mean, it's good for us.
Yeah. Might have been what he was afraid of. Like, that might have been why he thought people would think that.
Yeah, but, you know, any Nevuah that has any part of Ra in it doesn't necessarily have to come true. So even though there's a compliment, a part of it that's good, that doesn't mean that the entire thing has to come true. The bad part doesn't have to come true. Don't destroy Nineveh and don't exile Klal Yisrael. That would be the best case scenario. So he says, Ahetiv? Is this a good Nevuah, Charlach, that's causing you so much pain? This is a Nevuah for bad. So what are you worried about? So the Mefarshim can be broken down into two categories, I guess. We could break them up into two groups. The ones that read the Pasuk as Ahetiv Charlach. You're very angry. You know, Ahetiv Charlach. The Taiv means abundance, a lot. And they put the word Hetiv together with Chara, Hetiv Charalach. Or Hetiv Charalach, is it proper that you're angry? You know, that's all one flow. And then you have the Mepharshim that say, Hetiv stands by itself. Hetiv, on the good that's coming to Nineveh, that causes you pain? Or Hetiv, is this a Nevuah Tova? You know, both of those Pshatim, there's a pause after the word Hetiv. So it's the machlokes between the pausers and the pause nuts. The son of Rav Shamsher Rafael Hirsch, his name was Mendele. Rav Mendele Hirsch. So he brings a raya from the pasuk, from the trup. In the pasuk, it says, the way you read it is, Vayemer Hashem Haitev Charalach. Under the Hetev is a tipcha, under the word chara is a mercha. It's like a comma, but facing away from each other. You know, one of these and one of these. The two notes are facing away from each other. They go in opposite directions. You know, like this.
And that makes a pause?
That makes a pause. When you see that, here, I'll show you. Yes. Hetev. So it's a comma, and chara is a comma in the opposite direction. It's called tipcha and a mercha. When you want to join two things together, you put a mercha before a tipcha. When you want to break them apart, you put the tipcha before the mercha. So he said that's a raya to the Malvustrat. That's a raya to the Redakstrat. That Hetiv stands by itself. That's a... Plus okay.
The Malvum and the Radak?
Yeah. Both of them. It's Akasha and the Targum. I mean, there are many Mefarshim, they ask why Yoni doesn't answer the question. If it is a question.
Seems like a rhetorical question.
Alright, so let's say, like the Targum is a statement, I see you're very angry. Like the Radak, is it, why are you angry because of the good that I'm doing to Nineveh? That's a question. Why are you angry if this is not a Nevuah L'tova? There could have been some response. The Barbanel says two pshatim. One pshat is like you're saying, that it was a rhetorical question, and Hashem wasn't really asking him, it was giving him techacha.
He said this before,
right? Right, yeah, I'm repeating it. Yeah.
Who said this again?
This is the Barbanel. It's like when somebody tells you, could you explain in your wildest dreams why you did such a thing? You don't expect a response. It's a statement. It's not a question. It's a statement that this thing is beyond possibility.
What the sailors said to him before, what have you done?
What have you done?
One of the opinions.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
What have you done?
What have you done? Right. What have you done?
Yeah.
Not what have you done. What have you done? The other pshat of the Abarbanel was a Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to make a point, but he didn't need the answer because a Kadosh Baruch Hu already knows the answer. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu knew that Yoina's kavana, his motivation, his drive, what?
Have you said this part before also?
Was because was that Yoina was fearful of the consequences to Klal Yisrael, so Yoina didn't feel that he had to answer a Kadosh Baruch Hu because Hashem knows what's deep in his heart. That's okay. What's Yena's response? V'yetzi Yena min ir. He left the city. Because until now, Yena was in the city. He left. V'yeshim mikedem l'ir. And he sat down on the east side of the city. V'yaslo sham sukkah. He made himself a booth. And v'yeshiv tachtel. And he sat under the booth. Batzel. In the shade of the booth, Ada Shayira Mayir Beir, until he sees what's going to be in the city. Why did Yen leave the city? Well, you can figure out why Yen left the city.
Because it might be destroyed.
Yeah, it's not a good place to be. Why did Yen leave the city?
Yeah, I thought Hashem was just giving him a message saying that he was not going to listen to his prayer.
What? You said that prayer because out of order.
Why did Yen leave the city? So there's a number of opinions why he left the city. The Radak says, because he wasn't sure if the tshuva is going to last. They have 40 days to do tshuva. So they did tshuva the first day. If the tshuva doesn't last for at least 40 days, they're finished. So according to the Radak, the clock was still ticking. And he still hadn't seen the full measure of the tshuva. So it could be it's still going to be destroyed. So he wanted to see. I mean, the pasuk says he left the city because he wanted to see something. So he wanted to see what's going to be in the city.
Is he hoping that they would get destroyed?
Yes. Most, yes. More than anything.
Everybody.
More than anything. Now, we said before that Yen had a nevuah, that they were going to do tshuva and that they're not going to be destroyed. So it's hard to reconcile that with him going out of the city to see what's going to be. So Barbanel deals with that issue. Barbanel says, when you have a decree against an entire city and they do a partial tshuva, so then you could avert the consequences of the entire city being destroyed. But that nothing should happen. There should be no impression. He used the word Roshim. That there should be no Roshim of a decree that was issued to obliterate the entire city. Yehuda didn't feel that was probable. Just, you know, if the city angered a Kadosh Baruch Hu to the extent that he was going to them Kloya, destruction, so then the tshuva might mitigate it. That there won't be total destruction. But nothing at all should happen was something that you didn't think was in the realm of possibility. And the Barbanel gives an example. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu davened for 40 days and 40 nights the Bnei Yisrael shouldn't be destroyed in the Chet HaEgel. There was a Magefa, there was a plague. People died. There was a war, there was a plague. And he ground up the Egel and he added water to it and people drank from it. People were dying right and left. And that's with my Rabbeinu davening for 40 days and 40 nights. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu relented, Hashem answered Moshe's tefillas, that Klai Yisrael is going to have a continuity. But that's it. There's a havtacha. The Klai Yisrael will have a continuity. But it's not a personal guarantee for each and every person they're going to survive. So Nineveh will survive as a city. That was Yonah's nevuah. But the individual, if he had someone that he excelled in Hamas, like he was like a ringleader, a mafioso, so he's not guaranteed he's going to be survive. The Bible also is another reason why he left. The people of Nineveh were duplicitous people. They made changes on the outside that didn't match the inside. They're hypocritical. Rishayim. That's a Rasha. A Rasha holds on to, he holds on to his rishis at all costs. Even when he's faced with such a threat. And Lamech has, changes on the outside. Rabbi Nun said he left the city because he didn't want anything to do with people like this. It was just not a place to be. Yaina and these people, he has nothing in common with the people in the city. He's consistent. He's Yaina Ben Amitai. It's just like, you can't. The two things, it's like opposite ends, opposite poles of a magnet. He didn't want to have a relationship with them. He didn't want to have anything in common with them. He didn't want to have a bond with them. He wanted out. Now the interesting thing here is that if you remember in a previous Pasuk base, Yehoshua says, I know you're Kerachim v'chanan erachapayim, and I know you forgive the city. And we said that the Radak view is that was prophecy, but Devin Ezra held that it was after 40 days it elapsed already. Yehoshua knew that they didn't do tshuva. And Yehoshua knew, yes?
Could be he didn't leave the city before then because he wanted to die.
Could be.
But he still wants to die?
Yeah. I really don't know. I really, I don't know. But Devin Ezra says he was angry because he saw they were spared already. That's a machlaikas. If he saw they were spared already, so then what's he going to look at? He saw it already.
Hoping maybe they do it there or
not. Afterwards, Devin Ezra says this pasuk is out of place. He says we shot 40 days up in pasuk Beis. And now in Pasuk Hey, we're going 40 days back. We're going back. We're traveling back and forth in time. Yeah, according to Evan Ezra, you have to say this. Ein muktam mukha b'tayra. Excuse me. If you had any concept of what the Torah was, the Torah can't be in historical order. If it'd be in historical order, it'd be a history book. It has nothing to do with history.
I heard that.
The Torah's order is there because we have to see these truths in the proper sequence. Regardless of the historical sequence.
So when did he leave?
So it's going.
Leave now. What?
When did he?
Before leave? The 40 days were up. Yes, Laser.
And so, because he worried that they were getting destroyed.
No, because for any of the reasons that we said.
So according to who says it?
Devin Ezra.
Devin Ezra says that he started originally switched.
After the 40 days are over and he was angry or he was in pain because he saw they didn't do tshuva and they were still speared. There is a reason. Do I know the reason?
No.
I don't know the reason. If you'd like, I could look into it. It's usually somebody's usually brought into prominence to the forefront because that's the main lesson we're supposed to learn. And the other things are just historical details. Yeah, let's check. The Iker will be brought forth. Pasuk Vav, nobody say. Vayiman Hashem Elokim. Where else do we have the word Vayiman in Sefer Yena? In reference to what?
Oh, the fish.
The fish, yes. Vayiman Hashem dog. Vayiman over there meant that Hashem made in Sheshish, made precious. There's no parallel Chazal that I found on this pasuk that says that this was from Shesh Shemay Bereshis.
Well, later on, he says that it only like existed for like a day.
Which means that it wasn't there for Shesh Shemay Bereshis, right? Vayiman Hashem Elokim Ki Kayan. Hashem prepared Hashem Elokim. Kikayon is a type of a tree. Vayami al Yona, and it rose above Yona. Liyas tzela rosho, it shaded his head. Lahatzalei merotzah, to save him from evil. Vayismach Yona al Kikayon. Yona was happy. He was happy. When he saw... Good question. That's the answer. The Malbim says that sukkah only helps at a certain time of the day when the sun's at an angle, but if it's directly overhead, so then it's not going to help too much.
If you have schach.
Well, that's Hashem made the schach. Vayiman Hashem Elokim Kikoyin Vayal Me'al Yona, and it went above the sukkah. According to the Malbim, the Kikoyin went over the sukkah, Liyas Tzel Arosha, to provide shade for his head, lahatzalei merasei, to save him from evil. Simcha gedayla. He was happy. He was very happy. He was very happy, which seems a little bit out of proportion. What's a kikayon? The Radak says a kikayon grows in a marsh, like marshlands, wetlands.
Wetlands,
protected wetlands. And it has like seeds. It produces seeds that the oil called Shemen Kik. It's one of the oils which is used, yes. Shemen Kik is produced from the seeds, and that hence the name Kikayon. Shemen Kik. I don't know exactly. You say it every day, hopefully. Yeah. I mean, every Shabbos. Leib Shemen Kik. That's one of the things that you're not supposed to light Hanukkah. I mean, Shabbos neighbors with. Leib Shemen Kik, Leib Shemen Srefa.
Who says this?
Radak. He says it's a very it has a valuable property that if somebody has the chills, so then they drink the Shemen Kik and it warms them up. That's the Radak. And then also the Mitzvah Tzion says it has another property that it's well rooted in the ground so that even when exposed to direct sunlight it still remains moist and green. That was the Mitzvah Tzion.
That's why it's called Kikayon?
No. That's why Hashem used it.
Yeah, if the whole thing was a nace anyway, why does Hashem need to use that kind of tree? I guess, alright.
Right.
It's well rooted in the ground so that.
What?
It's well rooted in the ground so that.
It's well rooted so that even when it's exposed to direct sunlight, it doesn't dry out. It remains moist and green. We'll see later that they had a lot of leaves. It's a very leafy tree. Lahatzalei merasei. Hashem caused the Kikayon to sprout to save Yosef from evil. That's a very, you know, it's a very interesting way of saying he wanted to shade him from the sunlight. Save him from, Ra'asai is possessive, his evil. I mean, direct sunlight is evil for anybody that has sensitive skin. So the Mefarshim say, the Medrash says that Yain in particular could not be exposed to direct sunlight because when he was in the fish and in the salt water, so then that caused, you know, it was like acidic or sulfuric, you know, the salt water burns. Salt water is corrosive.
But he was a fish, so he shouldn't get affected.
He was.
Only fish out in the sun.
He was a fish?
Yeah. And it says his clothing was burnt. You know, he had patched clothing. It was all burnt up. And all the hair of his body and his head and his beard, it all fell off.
From the sun?
No, from being in the water and the fish, from his experiences in the ocean.
Were burnt up or just torn up?
Singed.
From what?
From the corrosive water.
Acid burns.
Oh, yeah. Forget sodium water. Burns.
Just water.
Sodium burns.
In water for that long.
Yeah. Sodium burns. It's sodium chloride. Yeah. NaCl. Flies were being attracted to it. He had festering wounds of flies. Yona did not come out of that experience untouched. The flies were all around him. And according to his medrash, it's Pashup Shat why he wanted to die. He was just so much pain. He wanted to die because he was just in so much pain. And the medrash says that this was a punishment. You know, until now, we never really saw sources that Yena was punished. You know, he was being instructed. He was being led along a path. But he was being punished. This medrash says he was being punished. The medrash says, Kol mi sheyesh biyado lahachzor es chaver b'tshuva, anyone that has the capability to bring his friend back b'tshuva, chaver means fellow man, ve'ena machzira, and he doesn't take the opportunity, bali de tzar gadol, Hashem brings great pain upon him. So this was, what? Doesn't matter. If you could do it, you could do it. If Hashem tells Yena to go, that means that he can't excuse himself by saying that they're goyim. They just became his responsibility. It's grad of machlekes tanaim. If you're mechayiv to daven for goyim to do tshuva, and the Rambam paskins that you are. Yeah, Rambam paskins halacha that you're mechayiv to daven for goyim to do tshuva. They should be megayir. So because they can be megayir and be good Jews, so how could you not daven for them? Halacha l'maisa. And certainly, if Hashem commanded him to go, so then he's responsible for them, and he didn't. I just saw this maaser. It's printed in the newspaper. There's a yid by the name of Rabbi Brafman. He's the principal of Yeshiva Far Rockaway. So he told over this story. He said there was a girl. She happens to be a classmate of my sister-in-law. She came to Eretz Yisrael for a visit, went to the Kosel, and she can't help but overhearing two ladies talking at the Kosel. They're complaining that somebody moved into their building that wasn't Shomer Shabbos. And they complain, you know, there is what to complain about. It's not geschmack. Who knows what they were doing there? And they were, you know, they're saying that maybe they're going to try and get them to move away. Maybe they'll move away, you know, make a petition. You know, all kinds of aces, you know, how to take care of this problem. And this girl, she couldn't help herself. She just turned around and says, why don't you just invite them for a Shabbos? They said, oh, we're not Kira professionals. We don't know how to do those things. Should just be makar of them. It bothers you that they're not Shomer Shabbos, so do something about it. Make them Shomer Shabbos. So we don't know how to do it. We don't have techniques. So she told them the mashal of the Chavetz Chaim. When there's a fire in the city, you don't wait for a shipment of me'edin filtered water to put it out. You know, a bucket of sandy water. You know, it's not fit for human consumption. You use whatever you can. She said, there's a fire raging. Put it out. And she, you know, she didn't know what the ladies were going to do with this. It just came out. In the end, they extended an invitation for Shabbos. And they got to know them. And they became friends with them. They became close to them. And they're keeping Shabbos. There's a longer maaser which I can't tell you now. It's a longer maaser which I just heard by Sheva Brachas about Rav Nissen Shlomo Kaplan. How he, I think he took an entire birthrate group and made them be Baal Tshuva.
All of them.
He was on a flight from the United States to Israel, which was supposed to leave Thursday night. 11 o'clock and get to Israel Friday morning. You know, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, I don't know exactly. And it was delayed and delayed and delayed and delayed and delayed until finally the arrival time in Israel was a half hour before Shabbos. He was with an entire birthright group. He's a Rosh Chabura in the Mir, he's a Chashavid. And he, you know, they kept on telling him, "We're gonna loaded the luggage. You're about to get on," and one thing after another until they repaired the plane. It was too late, and he said he's getting off, and they didn't want to let him get off. They promised him that they'll put him up in the airport, and they'll have Graham do the luggage. So he called someone, asked Shaila, and the answer was he can't go. You can't fly in a plane if they say you're going to get there. The pilot says he's going to fly faster. See, that he didn't have. It's a whole story. And there was a birthright group on the plane. And you're not Shemesh Shabbos. It was a non-religious birthright group.
Zionist.
It was kids that were going to Israel. But the Madrich was religious. So the Madrich asked Rav Kaplan, "What's the halacha? What should I do?" So he said, "If I tell you, you're going to listen to me?" He said, "Well, you know, these kids don't keep Shabbos anyway. If we don't go, they're not going to keep Shabbos. If we do go, we'll get there half an hour before Shabbos. It's not a push to the Shaila. And if we give up on the birthright trip, so then it could be the last chance these kids are going to have." He said, "I'm going to answer you on, one condition. We're going to call the Pesach for the Shaila. But before we call him, we're going to take a vote among all the participants." He's a very smart, very, very wise, smart individual. "And we're going to vote whether I should call the rabbi or not. And if the vote passes, that means we have a majority. So I'm going to call him, and whatever he says, we got to listen to." So they voted to call Rav Belsky. And Rav Belsky said they can't go. And they put them up in a hotel in Newark.
Newark. So they spent the whole time.
Because I think that was one of their conditions. One of their conditions was that they're willing to accept the psak of Rav Belsky and stay behind for Shabbos, and not go to Eretz Yisrael for Shabbos, on one condition, that Rav Kaplan spent Shabbos with them. They liked him. They wanted to spend Shabbos with his rabbi. So he spent Shabbos with an entire birthright group, and they kept Shabbos. They kept Shabbos.
All of them kept it for that Shabbos?
Once you keep it for Shabbos, who knows how far it goes. The story took a long time to say over it. I'm not doing it justice. But to go by this pasuk without saying something about it doesn't do it justice. We have to learn from this. If you have the capability of being maksam b'tshuva, and you don't, you're just hurting yourself. Mechayev. We have achrayis. The point is, it's called responsibility. We have responsibility. So according to the Abarbanel says, besides all the things that the Medrash said, that he was burnt. He had a high fever. He was dying of fever. He was burning up with fever so much, Abarbanel says that's why Yair wanted to die. I mean, we had the lumdish reasons why he wanted to die, because Chil Hashem is coming from him. But then there's the Pashup Shat reasons why he wanted to die. He was in pain. He was in indescribable pain. He couldn't live with the pain. He wanted to die. And Hashem saved him from Ra'asai. You understand? Ra'asai is this indescribable pain. Hashem put the kikayon over the sukkah. Some say kikayon is like eucalyptus. If I remember, kikayon could be a eucalyptus tree. Some form of eucalyptus tree. Over the sukkah. So Yanni was able to just, have a break from his pain. The sun was tormenting him tremendously. The Marikara says he fainted. He had a fever. He fainted. Bugs were eating him. And all the pshatim are true.
So how does the shade cause the bugs to go away? Or the fever to go away?
Well, the fever is from the heat. Could be exacerbated by the heat.
And the bugs?
I don't know. Yeah. Yanni was happy. The push-up shot, why he was happy? Because he wasn't in pain anymore. But there's a deeper understanding, a deeper shot, why he was happy. Also a number of pshatim. The Malbim said the Yehuda was happy. Simcha Gedela. You could say Samach Simcha Gedela. You could say Samach could be because he was happy that he was relieved from the physical pain. And Simcha Gedela is from the spiritual pain. I mean, I didn't see anyone that said that, but I think that it's Nitan Lehi Amar. You could say that. Simcha Gedela. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put a shade over him. That's a Simcha Gedela. For a number of reasons. Number one, that means Hashem wants him to sit there. You know, if you're sitting in a place that you're sitting in, if you go into someone's backyard and you sit down on the lawn chair and you're enjoying yourself with your tequila slammer, so you don't have any proof that the owner wants you to be there. But if the sun is beating down on you and you're starting to sweat, and he brings over a beach umbrella, so that's a sign that you're in the right place. So he saw it as a sign from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He went out of the city to see what's going to happen in the city. And Hashem shaded him in that spot. So it's a simon from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like Hashem is telling Yehuda, wait and see what's going to happen next year, and I'm going to show you something. So he thought that Hashem was going to destroy the city. And that was the Simcha Gedela. He was wrong. His happiness didn't last very long.
Who said this?
This is the Malbim. The Sipurnai says even further.
He didn't care about all the innocent, the people who would die. I'm saying he wanted to die himself. But what about
the people of Nineveh?
Yeah.
The people of Nineveh, the adults at least, were thoroughly wicked.
Yeah, but they're still, if he was a righteous person, he wouldn't want them to die.
Righteous people want wicked people to die. If they don't do tshuva.
Die or do tshuva.
But they didn't do tshuva. They're not doing tshuva.
Right.
So when you have a Russia that doesn't do tshuva, David HaMelech said in the Pasuk in Tehillim, Misanecha Hashem Esna, those that hate you, God, I hate. Ubimiskemecha Esketat, anyone that rises up against God, I'm gonna deal with them.
Right.
The bigger the tzaddik, the more sinner he has for Hashem. Avraham Avinu sent Yishmael away, and he didn't even give him bread and water. They ran out of water. Because he hated him. He was a Rasha. The Sipurna takes this idea one step further. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu shades you, so it's a sign that Hashem is protecting you. And Yehuda saw himself as a small miniature Klal Yisrael. The word for that is microcosm. And we said before, Yehuda was Mashiach ben Yosef, which means he's a Melech in Klal Yisrael. He has that majesty. He has a claim to the throne. The Melech represents the people. If Hashem is shading Yehuda, then Hashem is acting out something. Hashem is making a display of shading Klal Yisrael. So Yehuda was Samach Simcha Gedolah because he was davening. Okay, so Nineveh is going to get saved. Even though they didn't do tshuva, they're going to get saved. That's a fact. But the Klal Yisrael should be shown up by it because Klal Yisrael is not going to do tshuva. We explained, Klal Yisrael doesn't do tshuva unless it's genuine. And they're not holding by it. They're not going to just make some cosmetic changes. And they're not holding by genuine tshuva, total tshuva. And they're going to be shown up by Nineveh. They're going to be destroyed. See, Davin to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, I have to go to Nineveh. I want to go to Nineveh. I have no choice but to go to Nineveh. But at least, he Davin to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Oh no, you know, he's beseeching a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Klal Yisrael shouldn't be destroyed. The act, the nace, of the Kikayin rising and shielding Yehuda from the harmful effects of the sun, he saw as a siman in Shemayim that Hashem accepted his tefillah, and he's not going to destroy Klal Yisrael. And you know what? His tefillah had an effect. There's a mandiyam in the Gemara in Sanhedrin that Aseres Hashvatim Asidim Lachzor. Even though they're lost, they're going to come back. His tefillah had an effect. I mean, it wasn't an effect which you could see, because for all appearances, the Aseres HaShvatim are gone. But they're not really gone. Someone that's really gone can't come back. We know that. Tchias HaMeisim is only possible because one doesn't really die. Mm-hmm. Dead people don't come back to life. And so that was the Simcha Gedela. Pasuk Zayin, weiter. Vayimanu Elokim. I just want to point out on Pasuk Vav. You see the Shem Hashem Elokim? Mm-hmm. Hashem denotes Hashem's compassion, Rachamim, and Elokim represents his justice and din. So you see that here there's a combination of Rachamim and din at the same time.
You could have shown it to him in a different way without.
There's a tzirah of Rachman and Din here.
How's the Rachman?
Vayiman hu alehim telas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepared a worm. This is the third time it says Vayiman. Ba'alaysa shachar. As the sun came over the horizon. When the sun's rays just began to start beating down. The Mocharos of the next morning. Batachas Kikayon. And the worm smote the tree, the Kikayon tree. Vayivash. And the Kikayon tree dried out. How does a worm strike a tree?
Hashem wanted it to.
It says it dried out. It doesn't say the leaves were eaten up.
It
eats the roots. The Radak says that the worm ate the roots. Once it was rootless, then the leaves dried out. This happened.
Who says this?
Yeah, how long the Radak. Took like a second? Just like happened? Or was it like.
It happened at the worst time for Yena. When the sun was mamish strong.
So it dried out instantly? Or dried out over the morning?
Yeah, that's a question I don't know the answer to. But Barbanel said that it dried out at the worst possible time.
I mean,
when
if
the sun
it started attacking it in the beginning of the day, then by the time it was
take
done,
time.
It was the middle of the day.
That could be. That could be. So it dried out at the time when he needed it the most. Barbanel said that. It's interesting, Abominal comments, is like almost parenthetically, that Hashem wanted to show Yainer that nothing in this world lasts forever. Like a little bit of Musa there. You have such tremendous simcha over this Kikayon. He said, wow, this Kikayon is something, this is a very good, this is a good Kikayon, this is Toiv. This is a valuable Kikayon, this is a beneficial Kikayon, this is something. This is a solid chunk of Kikayon. So Hashem was showing Yaina, demonstrating that nothing in Olam Hazeh could last forever.
If this tree symbolizes Hashem's shade over protecting the Klal Yisrael or anything like that, then it should last forever.
He thought that was what it represented.
No, he was wrong. The Yalkut Mamlei says, why did Hashem use a worm of all things to smite the Kikayon?
He couldn't see it.
So why didn't Hashem use termites?
Same thing.
This is Yalkut.
The Yalkut Mamlei says, why a worm? He said, because a worm is the weakest of all creatures. It doesn't have a spine. And the only power it has is with its mouth. It has no hands. It has no legs. All it does is use its mouth. The only power of the worm is through its mouth, and that was something Hashem wanted to show Yaina. The Kayak of Klal Yisrael. He knew of the worm. The Kayak of Klal Yisrael is with their mouths. He was showing Yaina the Kayak of Tefillah. So you see, amidst the harsh din which is coming on Klal Yisrael, Kadosh Baruch Hu is showing Yaina the secret. He's showing the Rachamim. Klai Shal Davins, Kadosh Baruch Hu will have compassion. That's the Rachamim Bidin. The Yalkut Mamlei describes the Kikayon tree. He says that it has 276 leaves. The Yalkut Mamlei. 276 leaves.
This one or every tree of this type?
That's a good question.
How
It sounds like it's all Kiki on trees. 276 leaves.
Okay.
There's obviously a significance to this, which we're not even scratching the surface.
It makes sense that it would be this one would have.
Yeah. Yeah, well, like the Gemara says, there's 613 pits in a Riemann. Does that mean everyone? The Gemara says, you know.
I think someone told me once that he counted, and it was. I don't know.
I mean, it's not the Gemara exactly. The Gemara says Malaya Mitzvahs Karima, and it's the interpretation of the Gemara. That each and every leaf, he said each and every leaf was four spans and a tefach. One span is when the hand is spread outward like this, the fingers are spread apart, and a tefach is when the fingers are held together like a fist. So four spans and a tefach is approximately, you know, something like 24 inches. Each leaf is like 24, right? Each leaf is about 24 inches, 2 feet each leaf, and there's 276 of them. The Yalka said 40 people could find refuge in the shade of one kikayon tree. It will shade for a radius of 40 people. That's some tree. Oh my. Let's try Pasuk Ches.
What's the significance of that? Or not?
I don't know. I'm just, you know, some things we're just going to have to leave to work on another time.
The fact that it was just one room to show the power of tefillah for one person, or is it all of Klal Yisrael?
It's all of Klal Yisrael. Va'ik Yizrech HaShemesh. The sun shone. Vayimana Elohim, Ruach Kadim, Hashem prepared an eastern wind. This is the fourth time that it says Vayiman. Chereshes means it renders dumb, like a cheresh. A cheresh means
deaf.
Deaf and dumb. It renders dumb. It brings about dumbness. Deaf and dumbness. It's a very powerful wind. Vatach Hashemesh al Rosh Yonah, and the sun smote Yonah's head. Vayisalaf, and he fainted. Vayisal Snaf Shalomus, he wanted to die. Vayyamer, and he said, Taiv my Shemichayeh, my death is. Death would be preferable to life.
He was knocked unconscious before he said this or after?
Fainting. Fainting. He's in the process of fainting. So there's two pshatim, what chareshis. Chareshis means deaf and dumb. Rashi says that it renders all other winds impotent. All other winds, you know, just become silent. They're silenced by this wind. It's so powerful, it nullifies, it negates all the other winds. The Radak says that people become deaf due to the wind. It means sound doesn't carry. It's so strong that you can't hear each other. So it's, you know, it's either it silences the other winds or it silences all sound.
Who said the first one?
Rashi.
The next one's Radak.
Vayishas Nafshalamas, he wanted to die. You know, he keeps wanting to die. It's like, the Barbanel says, why do you want to die? He saw through the death of the Kikayan represented to him the death of Klal Yisrael. In the same way as the creation of the Kikayan filled him with hope, the death of the Kikayan showed him that there's no hope. Barbanel.
It's not on the wind, it's on the death of the Kikayan.
Death of the Kikayan, and it's more than that. It's the wind, the sun, and the Kikayan all together. It's his pain. It's the pain that he's feeling due to the death of the Kikayon, the blowing of the wind, and the smiting of the sun. That's not a simon type for Klal Yisrael. The Sipurna says the same thing as the Barbanel, but he had something. Yonah foretold that Hashem is spearing the city of Nineveh because he wants to use Asher as his whipping stick, as his punishing rod against Klal Yisrael. It wasn't the Asher campaign took place over a period of time. And there was a period during the time of the king Yeravam, the son of Yeyash, Yeravam ben Yeyash, that they repelled the invaders. They actually blocked the attack and sent them back. And Yeni knew about this, Benavuah. The appearance of the Kikiyon and its abrupt disappearance was a simon to Yena that the salvation attained or achieved by Yeravam ben Yeyash from the Assyrians is not going to be a lasting one. It's going to disappear. So according to the Sipurna, the Kikayon represented to Yena a salvation that wouldn't last. That was the Sephorno. The Mitzudas David says in this pasuk. Just one more thing. You look in the pasuk. It says he wanted to die. It doesn't really say that. It says Vayishal es nafsho lamos. What does the words Vayishal es nafsho lamos mean? Vayishal es nafsho lamos. The way we read it, Vayishal, and he asked lamos to die. Esnafsho, by losing his life. So the way we translated it, the word esnafsho is interposed between the words Yishal and Lamas. It's in the wrong place. So you gotta put commas all over the place. The Mitzvah David says, Vayishal esnafsho is he spoke to his nefesh. Yes. He wasn't talking to Hashem. But Yishal esnafsho, he asked his nefesh, he said, nefesh, why are you hanging on? Leave, so I don't have this pain anymore.
Well, nefesh always hangs out.
But Yishal Slavsha, he was asking his nefesh.
What he thought it was like separate from, like he is.
He's talking to himself.
He's like, dude, die already.
He's like, talking to his nefesh. His nefesh should separate from his body. But Yishal Slavsha Lamas, his nefesh should separate from his body. And that's Meduyik in the Pasuk. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, Mitzvah Hashem. Tomorrow we should be finished.